Ava's Crucible, a post-apocalyptic tale of the coming civil war in America, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. The deck is stacked against 29-year-old Ava. She's a fighter, but she's got trust issues and doesn't always make the best decisions. Her personal complications aren't without merit, but America is on the verge of a second civil war, and Ava must pull it together if she wants to survive. Ava has just lost her adoptive mother to cancer. She has no idea who her biological father is, and her adoptive dad walked out on his family for the sweet young thing at the office 15 years ago. With such a long history of loss and abandonment, it's understandable why she's hesitant to put her faith in people. But now, it's affecting her relationship with God. Meanwhile, the tentacles of the deep state have infiltrated every facet of American culture. The public education system, entertainment industry, and mainstream media have all been hijacked by a shadow government intent on fomenting the communist revolution in the United States. The antagonistic message of this agenda has poisoned the minds of America's youth, who are now convinced that capitalism and conservatism are responsible for all the ills of the world. Violent protest, widespread destruction, and politicians who insist on letting the disassociated vent their rage will bring America to her knees, threatening to decapitate the laws, principles, and values on which the country was founded. Ava refuses to give in to fear, but she simply cannot survive on her own. She must deal with her crisis of faith and learn to trust others, or she'll never make it through the bloodiest period of America's history. Get your copy of Ava's Crucible by best-selling author Mark Goodwin from Amazon.com today.
You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. If you're a longtime podcast listener, you know the continuing breakdown in communication and civility between the left and right has been an ongoing concern for me and many of my guests. Many believe that a second civil war is becoming increasingly inevitable. And this coming conflict is the subject of my latest novel, Ava's Crucible, which is now available in Kindle, paperback, and audio edition. As I mentioned, the book is available on audiobook, and if you've never tried Audible before, you can get Ava's Crucible free with Audible's no-obligation trial offer. You just sign up, you get the book for free, and if you decide not to continue your membership with Audible, you can cancel that at any time. And like I said, it's free to try it out. And you know, if you're a podcast listener, and that's kind of when you have time to consume content, is when you're driving or doing yard work or maybe working out at the gym or whatever, you know, it's a great way to listen to some really cool books. So give it a shot if you never have. As always, I'm hosting a giveaway to celebrate the release. Once again, I'm giving away lots of prizes. I've got 10 ounces of silver bullion bars that I'll be giving away. That's 10 one-ounce silver bars. First prize winner is going to win that, and the first prize winner is also going to get an autograph-proof copy of Ava's Crucible. There's only 15 copies, proof copies of Ava's Crucible wherever printed, so you'll be one of the elite few who own one of those. Second prize winner is going to win an individual first aid kit that's going to be stocked with an Israeli battle dressing, two packs of Quick Clot, TK4 tourniquet, combat application tourniquet, pre-threaded sutures, betadine swabs, Steri-Strips, gauze and bandages. The second prize winner is also going to get an autographed proof copy of Ava's Crucible. The third prize winner will win a Sawyer Mini water filter. That's what I keep in my bug out bag. They'll also get a Gerber multi-tool. The winner is also going to get an autographed proof copy of Ava's Crucible. So all three winners are going to get one of the autographed proof copies, of which, like I said, there's only 15 of those. And how to win? You leave a review for Ava's Crucible on Amazon.com. Send an email, including your Amazon screen name that you used for the review, to PrepperRecon@gmail.com and use Ava Giveaway in the subject line. The drawing will be held Saturday, May 5th. The winner's Amazon screen name will be posted on Prepper Recon to announce that they've won, and the winners will also be notified via email. Sorry, the contest is open to U.S. residents only. So Godspeed in the drawing. And now on to today's show. This is the second half of my interview with Dr. Mike Spaulding of Soaring Eagle Radio. Enjoy the show. You mentioned marching on Washington, D.C., and that's certainly something that the left's not afraid to do at all. We've just recently had a March for Our Lives, which is the Mr. Hogg and Company's anti-gun rally. And of course, it got lots and lots and lots of media coverage, whereas March for Life, which is the pro-life movement that every year on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, hundreds of thousands of Christians do gather together. Although I will say, it's something that I've been through many churches and rarely hear anything spoken of it. The last one we had in my town, the only people I really saw it, because you've got the March for Life, the big one that's in D.C., and then most local towns have some type of a demonstration, or at least the state capitals will, or larger cities will usually have some type of a demonstration. And this past year, the one we had here in Vero Beach, the only folks that turned out this year were Catholics. There were no I didn't see any other Protestants at the March for Life demonstration here in Vero. So is that okay? I mean, is that what you mean by getting involved in politics? Can we just sit around and watch Fox News, make a little tisking sound, and voice our disapproval on Facebook? Does that cut it? Because the left is much more engaged than that.
They are, and the behavior that you just described, Mark, is nothing more than virtue signaling in my view. Posting a couple of things on Facebook or something like that. So what has that done? Here's the issue, folks, especially Christians, but it isn't limited to Christians. I think people that don't profess faith in Christ can still understand that the murder of unborn children, the ripping apart of an unborn baby in the womb of the mother is satanic. It is evil, and I can't think of much of anything that is more evil than to deliberately rip apart an unborn baby, an unborn human being within the womb of that mother, what should be the most secure place, the most loving place, the most nurturing place on the face of the earth. I can't think of anything worse than that. And the reason that I feel so strongly about this, Mark, is because we see a picture of this in the Old Testament. The Israelites were drawn into worship of the Canaanite gods. God instructed them when they went into the Promised Land that they were to rid the land of the inhabitants within a specified border. They were to rid the land of the inhabitants. And the reason that they were to do that, because the fullness of their sin had risen to such a level that God had determined that he was going to judge them. And he used the Israelites as an instrument of judgment, just as he used the Assyrians and the Babylonians in later years as instruments of judgment against his people when they forsook him. And so the Canaanites, the god of the underworld, Moloch was his name, its name. The Israelites joined with the Canaanites. They adopted that. And this is all part of Baal worship or Baal worship, which was introduced into Israel. Jezebel is famous for that, keeping on salary. I think it was 400 priests of the religion of Baal. But part of that was offering up children into the arms, the waiting arms of a bronze statue that was supposed to represent Moloch. And in the belly of this bronze statue, and I'm talking a statue, 20 feet high or so, outstretched arms, placed your child there. They were inclined so that the children would roll into an opening and fall into the belly of this beast, which was a fire that would consume them. I see no difference, Mark, between what God condemned in the Old Testament as child sacrifice to demons. I see no difference between that and the modern day practice of abortion. It is a blood sacrifice to Satan. Both of them are blood sacrifices to Satan. And it's time for Christians to stop messing around with this. Stop allowing other Christians to say, "Well, I think it's a choice." No, it's not a choice. It's murder of unborn human beings, and we've got blood on our hands in America. And if we don't do something about this, we're all going to be toast very, very soon. God is not to be mocked. And some would say, and I don't disagree with this, Mark, but some would say that we're already under judgment in America today. That some said, well, when the Supreme Court ruled on same-sex unions, oh, well, God's going to judge us for that. No, maybe that was God's judgment upon us. Maybe he's allowed that to happen as a sign to the church that, listen, you are losing the battle because you refuse to step up. And it begins again, to tie it back in, it begins again in the pulpits of America. Our pastors need to get a backbone. And, hey, that may mean that people will leave your church. That may mean that people won't like you and you'll be scorned or ridiculed or ignored in your community. Who are you trying to please, God or man? Who are you serving, God or man? So what if you don't have as many folks week upon week in your congregation? Who are you trying to honor? Is it God or is it man? It's time for pastors, Mark, to step up, to repent, if that's necessary in their case, to repent of their refusal to be obedient. But you can change. You can turn it around. And I think that it's time for pastors to do exactly that.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Roe v. Wade was passed when what was decided by the Supreme Court when America was considered 90% Christian, or so they professed. Obviously, it takes a little time to turn such a big ship as the Supreme Court around, especially since we've given them this unconstitutional power that you've mentioned by basically making new laws through legal precedent. But they certainly, everyone that decided that, certainly in the past 40 years could have been thrown out of their ears or died off, and we could have certainly replaced them with people that would have overturned that. But even now today, we have 70% of America that still claims to be Christian. Does it necessarily require that the silence of pastors in the pulpit for abortion to have stayed on the books for 40-plus years?
Well, I think this is evidence that abortion has remained because, these last 40 years, 40-plus years, the Republicans have talked a good game, and it's resulted in a lot of campaign donations, but that's about as far as it's gone. There's been no real serious challenge to that, to Roe v. Wade. And the Supreme Court It's my opinion, Mark, that the Supreme Court is never going to overturn it unless the church rises up and in one voice insists that this child sacrifice be stopped. I'm not hopeful that that's going to happen. I pray that it will, but again, I'm not hopeful. But here's what we can't do. We can't say, well, what's the use, because it's never going to change, and then sit back and do nothing. Christians are called not to be pacifists in anything, but we are called to be activists. People are so fond of saying about Jesus, well, Jesus was a radical, Jesus was a revolutionary, Jesus was this and Jesus was that. Well, one thing that he was not is he was not afraid to challenge the status quo. In fact, I'm teaching through the book of Mark on Sunday mornings, and one of the pictures that has emerged that I'm continuing to beat the drum on is this. Jesus brings people to realization of their relationship with God, whether it is genuine or whether it is phony and fake. And he did not hesitate to point out to people that they were going to bust hell's gates wide open unless they changed their understanding of who God was. He constantly had these run-ins with the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, and he was constantly telling them that they were hypocrites, whitewashed sepulchers, that they were dead men's bones, that all of these things, trying to point them to the reality that you are far from God. And I think that Christians, and this may seem or come across as inflammatory, Mark, and I don't mean it to be this way, but I think Christians who support abortion, Christians or people who claim to be Christian and support the murder of unborn children and say that there's nothing in the scriptures that talks against this, there's nothing in the Christian life that would say we shouldn't do this, I think they need to examine whether or not they are saved, because to come against the innocent, the most vulnerable in our society, with such a callous attitude that it's a choice as if it's nothing more than picking an item off the menu for lunch, to me, says that what we may have here in this situation is a false convert, that they think they're saved and they're not really saved. And so I would encourage people to maybe take that up if they have friends or family members that support abortion. Take that up with them and say, you know, you profess to be a Christian, and yet you believe and agree and support this atrocious, barbaric procedure. Are you really saved? That's about the fastest way I know to get to the fact of the matter, Mark.
Jesus said, if you're connected to the vine, you're gonna produce fruit. And yes. I don't see how you could really be connected to Jesus, how you could really have a real relationship with him and think that that's okay. Another chapter you've got, be wise and gentle. So there's this balance of telling people the truth, and like you said, you've got to say it in love.
That chapter, be wise and gentle, but grow up. It was really, I was thinking about that passage when Jesus was sending out the disciples, and he said, listen, I'm sending you out among wolves. You just need to know the context. You need to know what you're facing out there. So you need to be as shrewd as serpents, but as gentle as doves. So don't be naive. Don't be stupid. Have an accurate understanding of what ministry is really about. Don't trust those who are not trustworthy. But have the love of Christ in your hearts and try to direct people and lead them to salvation through faith in Christ. Now, the growing up part has to do with training for all of that. Because the worst thing you can do is to be biblically illiterate and think that you're going to go out and share the gospel with somebody. Because I can tell you right now, the heathens, the lost people, unbelievers in this world will chew you up and spit you out with little to no effort. If you don't know what the scripture says and you don't know how to answer objections that people are going to raise, they do it all the time. And rightfully so. If they're lost in unbelief, they've got lots of questions. And those questions on whatever subject, it's a barrier that keeps them from seeing what Christ did, the mercy and the grace that God has offered to all people through his son Jesus on the cross of Calvary. It keeps them, those objections, it keeps them from seeing that. And so if you're not prepared to answer objections and questions and all of that, then you don't have a ministry, you don't have a mission for Jesus. And we've all got a testimony. We're all supposed to be sharing Christ with the world. Now, the Bible talks about this repeatedly, Mark. There are so many verses that talk about you need to move beyond the milk. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, man, by now you guys should be eating meat, but you're not. You're still drinking milk. And of course, the meat is the meatier things of the gospel. The writer of the Hebrews says that we need to move on beyond the elementary things of Christ. Now, some people read that and they think, wow, that's a startling statement. We're to move beyond the elementary things of Christ. Yeah, listen. There's more to the Christian life than just telling people that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and he rose 3 days later and ascended to heaven. Okay, so what does that mean exactly? Well, that means that he conquered sin and death on our behalf, and if you will place your faith in him, he'll do the same for you. Now, there's so many other things that we need to be talking about with people today, but we need to be wise, or as shrewd as serpents, Jesus said, wise in that sense, but we also need to be gentle. We need to be respectful. And Peter talks about that when he's talking about apologetics, when he's saying, listen, we need to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us, only we're to do it with gentleness and respect. I don't know too many people that have ever been argued into the kingdom, Mark, but I know a lot of folks that once they had the Bible explained, and once they had a conversation where all of their objections were answered, once that happened, the light bulb came on, and they understood God's magnificent love and grace for them, and they came to him in faith. That's what we need to do, grow up.
You've got a chapter called Strengthen the Body and Fortifying the Home Base. Is that something you see lacking in a lot of pulpits? It seems like slovenness is often sort of an overlooked shortcoming.
Yeah, strengthening. Listen, it's one of the qualifications to be an elder is that you make sure that you have your house in order. Now, I'm not saying that in order to be an elder in the church or a deacon in the church that your life, your marriage, your life, your kids, and you know, everything is perfect. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is this, that men, you need to be having a regular time of prayer with your wives. You need to have a regular time of Bible study or devotional study with your wives. Now, when my children were home, Mark, Kathy and I had Bible study, and listen, let me just say this. People say, well, you're a pastor, so you have that free time. No, listen, every year, every day that I've been a pastor, that I've been, and that's for the last 20 years, I've been a pastor, and I was on staff at other churches before that, but for the last 20 years, I've been a pastor, and what Kathy and I used to do when the kids were young, before they went to school, is we had Bible study with them. We prayed with them. We had Bible study with them every morning. Now, when they started getting older and started into high school and stuff, we still insisted that we had that time with them. And even though their friends were stopping by the house to walk to school with them, guess what? We just had more in the Bible study. And so what I'm saying is we need to pay attention to our families. We need to put into our children's lives the Word of God and prayer. Make it a priority for them when they're young so that it'll be a priority for them as they grow older. guys, you need to be praying with your wives. You need to be praying for your wives. So it starts there. Have a solid home base. I don't know how you think you're going to lead the church if you're not even leading your family. That's being negligent to a gross degree, Mark, for pastors not to be doing that. And let me say this, too. That's not just for pastors. Any Christian should be doing that with their spouse. Have a time of prayer. It may not work for you. Kathy and I do it first thing in the morning, at 6 o'clock every morning. We have our prayer time and our devotional time together before we even get ready for work. So that works best for us. It may be a different time for other people, but that's talking about strengthening the home base so that you are able, qualified to strengthen the body of Christ.
And then you've got a chapter that says, get equipped, understand the times, like the men of Issachar. We've certainly had no shortage of disturbing news stories lately. I think maybe a lot of pastors out there they don't feel like they have a good reliable source. I think it's very obvious that ABC, CNN, CBS, NBC are all just blatant liars and just coming up with just arbitrary news items that they're trying to push off as fact. I'm afraid Fox is not that much better. What we've got going on right now, and this is something that's really getting very, very little media play, but Russia and the U.S. are expelling each other's diplomats. This all comes on the heels of the spy Sergei Skripal being poisoned in the U.K. But isn't this the type of behavior that we'll often see serving as a precursor to war? And does that concern you?
Yeah, you're right. This is this geopolitical checker game or chess match where, you know, well, you expel one of ours, I'll expel two of yours, and you know, so on and so forth. And this has gone on over the years. This is nothing new. But the issue now is we've got a hot spot in the Middle East, and Russia is in Syria. They're building bases in Syria. They are in cahoots with the Iranians, which is very alarming, should be anyway, for us as Americans. Our State Department, our administration that's currently in the White House, it's just a very, very strange time, Mark, because from everything that I've been able to gather, the information I've been able to gather and understand is that there are the State Department is a completely compromised organization. It is not doing the bidding that is best for the American people concerning foreign policy. They are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Muslim Arab contingency, however you want to term them, and the White House is simply, in my opinion, the White House is in over their heads. They don't really know how to handle this. So concerning fake news, let's just touch on that for a second. Where do you turn? Well, I give a lot of references in that chapter. Folks that are listening to us, well, you're already in a good place. If you're listening to Mark and the Prepper Recon podcast, then you're already getting good intel. You're already getting good information, accurate information you're not going to hear on the alphabet networks. And Mark, you're absolutely right. That includes Fox News. Fox News is a compromised organization. The majority owner is a Saudi, and corporations, folks, you already know this. I know you've heard it from Mark, but I'll repeat it anyway. Corporations own, there's five or six corporations that own, I think it's up to 90% of our news outlets now. And yet that's why you hear a common theme more and more today. They're reading from a script. They all get the sanitized news that they're permitted to broadcast. If you're going to get the real news, you need to go to other places. And I'd be happy to share some of those, Mark, if you want me to, but I don't want to give a hat tip and, you know, and be inappropriate in that.
No, I'd absolutely love to hear what you listen to.
Okay. Well, I would encourage people to listen to the Common Sense Show. I would encourage people to listen to On the Objective, to the Amateur Society, to Coach Dave Live, to the Hagman Report. And I know I'm forgetting a couple. There's a couple more that I tune into regularly. You're already listening to Mark, so that's a good source. Jason A. is a good source on YouTube. There's a lot of good sources. Dark journalist, Catherine Austin Fitz. I know you've talked to her before, Mark. Let's see. There's several. Those are the ones that I listen to mainly. Now, there's some that are very popular, but I don't really put a lot of stock in what they provide. I think it's more sensationalism and money grubbing on our side of the fence. And yes, that goes on. There are organizations and folks that I just wouldn't give you the time of day for, but they are in our camp, and many folks listen to them. In fact, millions. But I don't put a lot of stock in them. So anyway,
we used to be big InfoWars listeners. And I don't mind the sensationalism so much, because I know what they're up against, and I understand they're trying to compete with the big names, and a lot of it is over the top. But what we had to do, what was the straw that broke the camel's back for us, is when Alex started using God's name in vain on the show, and then on his website, and on a lot of the YouTube videos, he's brought in a lot of younger reporters, and it's not so rare to hear an F-bomb dropped. So that's not stuff that we listen to anyway. Especially now that we've had a child, it's no longer a viable alternative for us. And it's unfortunate, because I could laugh off a lot of the sensationalism, but I can't laugh off God's name being used like that in that type of language. Back to what we were talking about with Russia, this Cold War type of atmosphere that seems to be coming back. It really resulted in a lot of fear during the last Cold War, after the Cuban Missile Crisis and all of that went on for a while. But now, with the cyber environment that we're in, countries can take action without it being known who actually did it. It wasn't so long ago that Georgia, the country of Georgia, was in conflict with Russia, and I think this was in the past couple of years. And of course, their lights went out via a combination of a physical and a cyber attack. And so that's something that I think is makes this round of the Cold War could be very, very different, because you can have those types of attacks and you can never actually have any evidence of who pulled the trigger. So it does make it very, very dangerous, and I think it's something that we have to be aware of.
Well, it is, and you've spent a lot of time, Mark, I know, on your program with your guests, Peter Pry and some others, and even some of your novels, the EMP series. I mean, it's a reality that could happen, and a lot of people just kind of, eye roll kind of thing. And it's like, listen, it's being tested and tried out in other places for the big one. And I would not put that past the enemies of the United States. And the fact of the matter is that if the grid went down here in America, you would have riots and you would have civil unrest, even to the degree of people being murdered for food. We've seen in America that people will be shot for phones and technology and things like Peter. People are murdered for no good reason already in America. Can you imagine if folks needed food and you stood between food and them? They're going to take you out. So this whole idea, cyber attack, and I think that that's probably going to be the precursor for an all-out, maybe even ballistic or nuclear attack. I don't know how much credence maybe is still a viable thing. I know under Reagan, we operated under the assumption of mutually assured destruction, and that they said that kind of kept everybody at bay. I don't know if that's the case anymore. If our infrastructure and our defense systems have been so reduced and they're so outdated that they would protect America, I don't know, Mark. It is a concern. Certainly. And there are a lot of things, a lot of moving parts and pieces in all of this, isn't there?
There certainly is. I know you've been so generous with your time, but before you go, I want to get your thoughts on the Facebook data collection. It never really came into the light when Obama used it for his campaign, but since Trump's used basically the same playbook, it's the hot topic of the moment. But all of the mainstream media is covering just how much data Facebook is keeping on everybody and how private companies can access this information. It's nothing new. Everybody's agreed to it in their terms of service. Do you think that that's good, that even though it's coming a little late and there's an agenda behind it, obviously, because it's about President Trump and not Hillary or Obama. But is it good that folks are becoming aware that all of this data that's being collected on them is being stored and it's basically there forever? It's the left and the right that needs to be concerned about this. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it is good that people are aware of it, but I would also say this to people, and you already said this, Mark, it's been going on for years. I mean, Google became what Google is because it offered its services, information services, search, data, what people are looking at. I mean, this is so in the last 20 years, Mark, as you well know, information has become, if not the most prized possession, the most valuable commodity on the planet, it is right up there in the top two or three. Information, as the saying goes, is power. And those among us here on the planet Earth that have evil intentions, they're going to carry those out, bring them to fruition based on the information that they have on all of us. So, yeah, it's a good thing that it's exposed, and I don't care who's in office when it gets exposed. Evil's evil, and let's call it what it is, Christian. But understand that when Trump leaves the scene, if Christ has tarried and we're still here, Facebook is going to continue to mine that data, and they're going to continue to sell it to the highest bidder, which I happen to believe, Mark, is our own government, and even the governments of other nations, and that includes security services that are supposed to be about protecting Americans and America, but in fact, they're really just doing the bidding of the globalists and the deep state. And yes, folks, that is a real thing. Don't think for a minute that the tinfoil hat conspiracy nonsense that our government tries to distract you with isn't a real thing, because it is a real thing. The deep state exists. There are folks that are pulling the levers. I don't care who the president is in office. He's got limited power. And I'll give you an example just from this latest omnibus bill, Mark. I think I read $500 million earmarked for Planned Parenthood. Are you kidding me? After all of the promises that the Trump administration made about defunding, after all the conversations and the press events that Republicans were posturing about defunding, here comes the bill, and it's got $500 million for the continued child sacrifice known as abortion. Don't tell me that the president is in charge, because he's not. There are other people that are involved in this, and this is a much bigger problem than what we understand, Mark.
While we're on the subject of data collection, you don't have any suspicions about the Alexa machines that listen to every single word of your conversation in your home, you yeah. don't suspect that those could ever be used to scrape data on us, do you?
Mark, how many times, and it just happened to me, about 3 days ago, I was at home, Kathy was here with me, and a couple of the daughters were here, and one of the sons-in-law, and we were just having a conversation, and all of a sudden, his iPhone spoke up and said, "I'm looking up whatever." I forget what it was, but he had used that phrase in a sentence, and here his phone automatically was going to do a search online for what he had said. Now, phones are listening to us. I think the technology that's being advanced today, and of course, this was all, you know, we could go down this trail of technocracy and how it is going to enslave all of us. Orwell saw this. Huxley saw this. And they were prophets, you know, 70, 80 years ago. That's all the direction that the nation was going. But technocracy, this enslavement by an educated elite that thinks they know what's best for. And by the way, folks, these are unelected elites. We saw a trial run of this under Bush when he had all these czars. And of course, you know, Christians didn't have a big problem with it then. But when Obama got in and he started making all these appointments for czars and everybody went berserk, it's like, you people are nuts. You need to wake up to the reality of what politics is really about. Something I'm fond of saying often, Mark, is the government is not our friend. The government is not our friend, especially the church. Don't ever think that the government is looking out for your best interests as a Christian, because it is not, and it's not ever going to. But anyway, back to your point. All this technocracy that's coming into our homes, it has one purpose. It's not to make your life easier. It is to collect data. It's listening to everything, and it is transmitting all of that back to a data reception center. And that information is being collected and collated and sold to the highest bidder. Yeah, you're spot on, Mark.
Pastor Mike, thanks again for making time for us today, and tell us about Soaring Eagle Radio, and then tell us where we can find your new book, Make the Pulpit Great Again.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. It'll be out soon. It'll be available on Amazon, on Kindle, on directly from CreateSpace, or they can go to SoaringEagleRadio.com. We'll have it available there for folks. And if they want to contact me through my contact page, either on SoaringEagleRadio.com, or they can go to TheTransformingWord.com, or I have a third website, is DrMikeSpalding.com. The books will be available there. If they would like to contact me directly, I can send them a signed copy of the book if they choose to do that. So Soaring Eagle Radio is the podcast. And Mark, let me just tell a quick story that got started about almost 3 years ago. And one of the first guests that I wanted to have on, because I was listening to this guy, and he was talking about prepping and all of the things that we need to do, had some very interesting guests on. And I thought, I need to have this guy. I need to ask this guy if he would come on and talk with me. I mean, I'm just getting started. Nobody knows anything about me or Soaring Eagle Radio. But is this guy called Mark Goodwin? His name was Mark Goodwin, and man, he had a great show. And I thought, I'm going to reach out to him and see if he'll come on. And for those that are listening, to my blessing and benefit, he said yes, and he came on. And Mark and I have been friends ever since. Appreciate your work, Mark, and everything that you're doing to alert America to what's going on today, and get them prepared for the potential or the possibility that life will become a little more difficult in the years ahead. So thank you for everything you do, and thanks for having me on.
Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.